Jump in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
Namaste, fantasy football friends. Huh? It's your favorite fantasy football expert, the coach here, and I've had a little time away from fantasy football due to some very enraging lack of performance by some of my players in a number of my playoff games. So at the suggestion of my wife to say it was non-optional, I've spent the last week and a half detoxing from fantasy football. And I'm here tonight with my friend Rusty. Rusty, let's talk politely about some fantasy football. How are you doing, Rusty?
Who are you? I don't recognize this person that I'm talking to on the other side of the line here.
I am just a guy who enjoys fantasy football, but not too much, and maybe got obliterated by the Widowmaker of a week that we experienced 2 weeks ago, and thus was unavailable to podcast last week. So we're back for our fantasy season finale to wrap up what has been quite a fantasy season to talk to you today.
Yeah, I am very glad that you came off suicide watch. For those who are not in the know, the coach was unfortunately in the Alpha League, was upset by as a 3 seed by a 6 seed who just barely squeaked in the playoffs by... It's going to hurt for me to say it to you, but by 1 point, essentially, and had a bad week. And then there was the Widowmaker. A bunch of guys got hurt or didn't perform. That Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm just going to say it, Coach, because it'll be painful for you to say it yourself. Let's just say that it was not a good week for the coach in the Alpha League. I mean, he's still winning. He's still in like 35 other finals, but the Alpha League is the one that really stings a little bit. I, of course, actually am in the Alpha League finals against that same 6 seed. It just in time for me to lose Dalvin Cook, and that 6 seed guy who finished 6-7 is probably going to win the title, and it bothers me to all crap, but it is what it is. I did get to avoid a semifinal with you where I would have totally lost, but I don't think I'm helping your rehab.
Here's the important thing, Rusty. You just have to develop a little thing called perspective.
Exactly.
Perspective to realize that fantasy football is just a game. It's not something that you should base your self-worth on. It's not something that you should tie up hours and hours and hours getting involved with. It's not something you should spend hours on the internet researching just so you can try to kick the sweet ass of people you dislike because you have played fantasy football against them for almost 20 years now. And then some guy who just squeaks into the playoffs drops a ridiculous number on you with a team that shouldn't even be there because some other guy forgot to set a decent lineup and blew it in the last week. And I'm feeling much, much better now.
You sound like it. So namaste to you, the coach. I hope you enjoyed that retreat. You certainly came back a changed man. I'm very your the way you're holding back is just absolutely admirable. I think if I were you, I'd have been losing my mind right about now. So well done on you, coach. But I don't really know where we're going to take the podcast now that you're so mellow like this.
Oh, it's okay. This won't last.
I know.
Yep. Let's talk about fantasy football.
I was going to trigger you by saying Aaron Rodgers. But that's okay. It's not like you gave up a first-round pick for him or anything.
Mark Andrews, why did you get hurt? Oh. Anyway, this week is obviously, you know, for a few select owners. And I mean, yeah, we're just talking the Alpha League here. I'm in way too many leagues, and I'm in the finals in pretty much most of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it's the one burns, but I got enough winning that it's going to carry me through the rest of the season.
Of course it is.
Hopefully, if you've listened to our advice, if you've taken Rusty's wisdom to heart, you're playing in your finals too this week. So, I mean, Rusty, we can look at the games, we can do whatever. But I think what we're coming down to is if you're in the finals, you probably deserve to be there unless mm-hmm. you backed in at 6-9 because you got lucky. What should people be looking forward to this week if they're not in the finals?
Looking forward to spending time with your family, spending time with your friends and loved ones, maybe doing a little bit of Christmas shopping because apparently that's coming up, which I've not been paying attention to because I'm in the finals in 48 different leagues and got to try and make sure I set my lineups and deal with injuries and whatnot. But you know what? For those of you who are not in the finals, be glad that you're not having to deal with your opponent picking up Breshad Perriman so he can start him against you when your wide receivers have been terrible all year. And you can just sit back and watch the games and watch these playoff situations unfold, not to worry about how the heck you're going to win your final game and win the money when things are not looking well for you. So just enjoy it. Just enjoy football and your family and get that Christmas shopping done and whatnot. So I think that's what I would be looking forward to if I wasn't in all those finals.
And that is one of the fun things when you have the perspective that it's not kicking you in the nuts is looking at where this season, especially 2 weeks ago, that Widowmaker, we had some absolutely terrible injuries that just decimated teams. And yeah. Now, you know, you might be riding into the playoffs and, oh, look, you can't start Dalvin Cook. Oh, look, you can't start Mike Evans. Oh, look, you can't start Chris Godwin. I mean, now who's Jameis Winston going to throw interceptions to? Oh, no, wait, he'll still throw interceptions to the other team because he's got nobody to throw to.
Except for Rashad Perriman, who my opponent picked up in the Alpha League.
Rashad Perriman, who apparently might be the greatest NFL wide receiver in history.
I'm getting visions of Drew Bennett again, and Billy Volek and all of them. And I'm not going down that road.
There's a chance if you're playing in the finals this week, you could be starting against. What is it, Dwayne Washington of the Raiders?
Yeah, Dwayne Washington. You might be starting against Rashad Perriman. You might be starting against Mike freaking Boone. Because both Dalvin Cook and... Oh, God. You know, I just realized, Coach. I had Dalvin Cook. I cuffed him with Alexander Mattison. And they're both hurt. And they're probably neither one's going to play this week. And now you got to deal with Mike freaking Boone.
Just maybe this is a time to revisit my stance on handcuffs.
I am considering it. The one week where I need him, he's hurt and he's not going to play. And now I got to play Raheem Mostert or whatever. And hope to heck that Kyle Shanahan doesn't pull his shenanigans or whatever I've been calling it and decide to give, you know, fumbling twice Matt Breida 30 carries, and Tevin Coleman out of nowhere because Raheem Mostert's been the best guy running back on that roster. I gotta pray that he gets enough carries to have a good game against the Los Angeles Rams. Oh, and I'm also starting Todd Gurley against him because that's what you really want to do. You want to start two running backs going against each other in a game like that in the fantasy finals.
And let's not forget that... I forgot.
This podcast is just becoming our therapy at this point.
I'm just peaceful here. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, this last couple of weeks has just been brutal for injuries. I can't remember a season that seemed worse. And I think that in some of my situations is what made it so hard is I got through relatively unscathed this season.
And it caught up to you because the law of averages, the way the season was going, there were so many in-game injuries that were happening. It felt like an epidemic at the time, and it just I was hoping it was going to stop. But no, it kept going. And I think your luck ran out, unfortunately, which sucks because that's the worst time for that to happen.
And you know what? It's definitely one of those situations. I don't know, friends, what your situation is like, but when you've got the one league that matters more than all the other leagues combined, mm-hmm. you know, I could walk away from this season with, you know, another 30 plus fantasy titles. Cause I pared back a little bit this year, but that Alpha League, That one where it all started. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one that burns.
Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. I would be an absolute mess because I got to the Alpha League Finals last year and lost in part because Philip Lindsay got hurt in the third quarter, and he didn't give me a chance to potentially come back. So, and that one stings. That one's still with me, unfortunately. So I feel your pain on that, coach, and I just hoping that come Monday, I don't know. Anyway, where'd you go on that retreat, coach?
Out in the woods.
All right, I like it.
It was cold. It was peaceful. I did some yoga. Did a little meditation. I did not look at what was going on in fantasy football because, boy, if I did in the Alpha League, I would have really been upset about my 155 point for performance that would have destroyed everybody else. But, you know, namaste.
But who's counting?
So, folks, why don't you namaste with us? We're going to take a quick break. And then just for fun, even though it probably doesn't matter to a lot of you, we're going to talk about this week's slate of interesting games.
Namaste. And we are back with the Fantasy Domination Podcast, and we're back on time, thank goodness, like real on time, not Tom Coughlin on time. Our clocks are set for the right time around here on the Fantasy Domination Podcast, folks. And unlike certain people, Tom Coughlin, we still have a job. So,
I'd just like to say, you know, we talked in the first segment about my spiritual retreat, and part of that was learning not to, you know, to take it easier on myself and to accept my limitations and to let them go. What we did not cover during my 10 days in the wilderness was not making fun of people who get fired because they are a tool. I was going to say a swear, but we don't say that on here. Tom Coughlin is a tool. He's a dinosaur. He's a relic of the past. And it's a damn good thing that he got fired out of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh yeah, I was reading an article on NFL.com that they turned the clocks back to normal time. Apparently, he had them set ahead or something like that to make sure people got to meetings on time. And I do love that part when the NFLPA said maybe you should want to rethink re-signing with Jacksonville and going there. And I'm like, this guy is not long for this league.
No, I mean, he shouldn't have been back. You know, you look at where this team is at now. Like, I mean, let's start with one thing. Tom Coughlin was a successful old school coach. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though we're only talking a few years ago, you know, back when Eli Manning was winning championships, you know, that doesn't translate to today's empowerment age.
Nope.
You know, where players now control their movement, their actions, you know, their livelihood more than ever before. Being an old crotchety military guy just doesn't cut it. And yeah, to your point, Jacksonville was being, you know, it was going to be red flagged as a no-go zone by the NFLPA. Mm-hmm. So good luck finding anybody who's not absolutely desperate to go there. So in the end, yeah, Shad Khan had to do the smart thing, and he dumped Tom Coughlin. Now, it's nice if he'd have done it a few weeks ago before they gave up Jalen Ramsey, because I'll tell you what, the reason Jalen Ramsey wanted out was Tom Coughlin. Now they got to right the ship, you know, show a little something. You know, they've got some decent players there. Leonard Fournette obviously had issues that were definitely Tom Coughlin related or impact. You know, if he can continue what has been a better season than I ever expected from him, they can figure out what they got at quarterback, whether they go with Foles, who wasn't good, or Minshew, who was not great but efficient, and get some real talent in there and get somebody who can take things forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a toxic environment, and he's a relic of a bygone era, and he's just not long for today's NFL. It's just, it was a bad fit, being accountable for 25% of the league's grievances, or the PA's grievances with the league, will get that attention. So, goodbye, and probably good rinse, from the sounds of it. I do like the old school bit, but you gotta change with the times, and if you can't change with the times, then you're gonna be gone, and that's what happened to Tom Coughlin. Well deserved, unfortunately.
Yep. Adios.
Maybe you can reunite with Eli and try to win another Super Bowl again somewhere. All right, so good riddance to bad garbage, and we're gonna move on to this week's slate of games. We're just gonna go over this real quick. Just talk about what we're going to look for. Let's start with the Saturday docket of games. We got three nationally televised games. First of all, 1 p.m., Houston visits Tampa Bay. I hate that this is going to be a shootout because I know my Alpha League opponent has two guys going for this one. But this one has all the feelings of a shootout because neither team wants to play defense. Yeah. And their quarterbacks are hot right now. Absolutely hot. On fire.
On fuego. So, yeah, I mean, this is a classic. Play these guys if you got them. If you don't got them, well, you're probably not in playing anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't have much more to add than that.
Yep.
Just, you know, classic smoke them if you got them game.
4:30, Buffalo travels to New England. This is one of those games that's not going to be a fantasy goldmine. I think it's going to be a defensive dominated game. I mean, unless you're starting the New England defense, then maybe that you might be interested there. But this one has a lot more NFL intrigue than fantasy intrigue.
Yeah, as we spoke about a couple weeks back, we took a random road trip to Western New York, spent some time with some Buffalo fans, and darned if I didn't fall in love with those wonderful people.
They're going to the playoffs. What the heck?
But you know what? They're not as like crazy about it because now it's like twice in 3 years. Whoop-de-doo. That happens to everybody. But if they can knock off the Patriots, and I think there's at least a chance.
It's a non-zero chance.
Pardon?
It's a non-zero chance. It could happen.
Yeah. Like New England, their offense is not good. They've got problems. I mean, I could see this being, you know, easily a 14-13 kind of game. If the Bills can do what they couldn't do last time, which is just they need to be 10% more efficient on offense. And with the way that defense plays and with the talent they have there, if they could be 10% better, then they're only going to lose to the elite teams. And right now, I have a hard time looking at New England as an elite team. Because they're just not good enough all around.
This one comes down to Josh Allen. Next game, the Saturday night game, LA travels to San Francisco. My question for this one is, which LA team shows up? The one that looked like they were back 2 weeks ago, or the one that got embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys last week?
Oh, flip a coin. Who knows? And I guess the Rams still have a mathematical playoff shot, don't they? So.
I believe so.
They should be motivated.
It's a chance.
I think they're still in there.
They're 8-6, so it's close. I haven't looked at the standings lately. Yeah. But they still have something to play for, but I don't know.
San Francisco has looked... I mean, their defense has been spotty the last couple of weeks, including an embarrassing loss to the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. who are just... I mean, they've turned garbage time... Or they've taken garbage time to a whole new level. We talk about guys who put up points in the fourth quarter when their team's out of it. The game is pretty much done. Atlanta has played garbage time for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and it is wonderful.
That Todd Gurley garbage time last week got me through the semis. So I love garbage time right now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, San Francisco should come out of this one. You know, LA, who knows?
Yeah.
I'll stick to what I said earlier. They didn't just get beat by Belichick. They got broke, and they're still trying to put the pieces together.
Yeah. Moving to Sunday. Oh, this great epic battle of 3-11 teams when the New York Giants face the Washington professional football team. I don't even have anything for this one. Maybe Terry McLaurin. Saquon Barkley did well last week. He got me to the finals in another league where I was a sixth seed working my way into the finals, so I'll take it. Saquon Barkley and Terry McLaurin. That's what I got in this one.
All right, so here's what we know, okay? Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, who we're going to talk about in a second, they're the worst team in the league. They're going to end up with Joe Burrow in the draft.
Yep.
The Miami, also really bad, is probably, you know, who knows where they're going to go. If they win, they're going to move ahead. Whichever one of these teams loses is going to be the front runner for Chase Young, and that is a great incentive to lose this game. So, I mean, I just as long as Daniel Snyder is the owner of Washington, I'm happy to see him not succeed. Mm-hmm. So I'm pulling for a Washington win here, and yeah, why not? Put Chase Young on the Giants along with Barkley and Jones, and maybe there's something fun to watch again. I don't know. It's one of those things. A good Giants team is always better for the league, right?
Yeah, for sure. 11-3 New Orleans traveling to Tennessee to face the suddenly exciting and not sleep-inducing Titans, who are at 8-6, and they're putting up points. Like, I can say Tennessee Titans and not start snoozing in the middle of the podcast, Coach. This is a crazy new world, and it scares me.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill has played himself into getting overpaid next season. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is doing Derrick Henry things. I mean, frankly, I don't know what else to say. It's a weird situation. They finally clicked. You know, their guys are playing like they're supposed to.
Yeah. Michael Thomas is breaking the catch record in this game, though. I watched that game. I was playing against Breeze and Kamara in the Alpha League up a lot, Breeze was just killing me in that one.
And I said it in the off season. Say it again. Michael Thomas is perhaps the most underrated player in fantasy football.
Mm. He shouldn't be anymore. He should not be anymore. He
shouldn't. You look at his numbers. He's not flashy. He's not a diva. You know, he's not going to get, you know, nobody's asking him put microphones in front of his face, win or lose, like they do with OBJ or some of the other diva wide receivers. All he does is go out there, get open, catch the ball, and put up yards.
The Colts got embarrassed on Monday Night Football. Like, that was just, and that's not a bad team, but New Orleans was just, I'm watching that game, and it's like, they can't stop them. That was a
painful, powerful beating. I mean, you look what did Drew Brees end up with? One incompletion?
He like, set the record for full completion percentage in an NFL game. He was 29 of 30, I believe, or something like that. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Thank goodness Kamara didn't do much. I'd be bitter like you right now. 8-6 Pittsburgh going to the 5-9 New York Jets. I don't like this game at all. The only thing that's interesting there is Le'Veon Bell, I think. That's just an NFL story more than anything else.
If you believe in revenge games, this one feels like it could be an all-timer.
I don't like Le'Veon Bell. I don't like him to do much in this game at all. I don't care how motivated he is. He's not as good as he used to be.
That's all right. Now, let me ask you a question, though, because you didn't let me finish. Ooh. Who is this a revenge game for? Is this Bell getting back at the Steelers for not paying him what he felt he was owed? Uh-huh. Or is this a revenge game for the Steelers for Bell screwing him last year by holding out and then bailing on the team?
Why not both?
Why not both? The good news is then, either way, it's a guaranteed revenge game.
Oh, I hope they tie. I want them to tie now just for that. But they're not. Pittsburgh's going to win, but I don't see this being a big fantasy day for anybody. Speaking of crappy teams that you mentioned earlier, Cincinnati 1-13, traveling to the 30-11 Dolphins. Dolphins will probably win this game because I can't see that Cincinnati choking that high draft pick away. And this one, Miami's looked a little better. Devontae Parker is finally becoming who he was supposed to become. I grabbed him in a league or two and been riding him. Miami's just going to run all over this one.
I mean, they should.
But Miami's still not good, so you never know.
And AJ Green is officially out for the season after and it's one of those things, you know, I feel like he was probably well-intentioned, but it just ended up being like stringing everybody along.
That's the worst case scenario. Just put him on IR. That's terrible. 5-9 Carolina, 6-8 Indianapolis. Both teams are out of this, but Carolina has just tanked. Will Greer is going to start this game. My goodness. I don't know. But Indianapolis looked terrible the other night. I don't know if they're going to be able to recover from that beatdown. Jacoby Brissett couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, so it was pretty bad all around. I don't know. It might be a little bit of a get-right game for Indianapolis. Maybe Marlon Mack. I don't know about T.Y. Hilton still, if he's back or not. He played, but he didn't play well, so I'm not sure what to think of that one.
Yeah, it's interesting because we're looking at two quarterbacks who are playing for their jobs at this point. I mean, Will Greer's got an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, he was drafted as a rookie. He was obviously going to be behind Cam Newton, and then Kyle Allen is the undrafted rookie from the previous year. So Will Greer's been sitting on the bench hoping for his opportunity, and here it is. On the flip side, Brissett's only playing because Andrew Luck up and retired. And I'm not sure if you can say he's done enough this year that they're going to be fully invested in him going forward.
Yeah, it's a good call.
You know, he suffered from not having his best wide receiver out there all the time. You know, he hasn't led them to a great season. His statistics are okay. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's good for the modern game because he doesn't turn the ball over. So on the season, you know, he's sitting there with 18 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, which is solid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is he good enough that he's going to take a step forward? He's 27. You know, I don't know if this is a guy you necessarily feel like you want to hang the rest of the future of your franchise on.
Yeah.
That's a hard choice that Indianapolis is going to have to make this offseason.
Yep. Next game, 12-2 Baltimore. The Baltimore Lamar Jacksons traveled to 6-8 Cleveland. Lamar Jackson has been saving my behind in a couple of leagues this year by almost single-handedly dragging me to the finals. He's an absolute fantasy cheat code right now. I really hope he can keep it up for one more week. And Cleveland, I know Cleveland beat Baltimore early this season, which seemed like a fluke. Cleveland is falling apart, even though they're at home. I'm if you've got Lamar Jackson, you're gonna start him. But hopefully they get right. That he's just really hot right now, and he's gonna carry. I want to see him carry some people in fantasy championships, including me. Cleveland, they need to figure that stuff out. That place is a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance.
Come get me, coach. Come get me.
There's a good chance if you're playing in the finals this year that you have Lamar Jackson, or you're playing against Lamar Jackson, and you are going to get burned this week. I mean, look what he did, almost like he wasn't even trying last week. 5 touchdowns, only 200 passing yards. Like, it was just, that was painful to watch if it was happening against you. Fortunately, I, of course, wasn't playing, so I didn't have to worry about that.
But if you were playing, you would have actually beaten me, but...
Yeah,
you would have overcome that, which
I know. That's all right. There. That's true.
Anyway,
to the point. Expect him to do great this year. Cleveland is playing out the string. Baker Mayfield has been a phenomenal disappointment this year. Mm-hmm. OBJ is going to leave. Somebody's going to throw cash at him. You know. Let's just put it on the record now. Doesn't it feel like he could just go to the Patriots now and like? He'll be exactly what Tom Brady needs for the next couple of years before he calls it quits. It just feels like that's the kind of thing that'll happen because we expect things to just work out for the Patriots. This season has been an exception, but I could see that.
Hey, they always do. That's why for the Bills, your time is now. Jacksonville, 5-9. Atlanta, 5-9. I don't even know what to think about this one.
Julio will get Julio his. I was actually considering starting Matt Ryan in one league as a streamer because it's either that or Kyler Murray. I just need Leonard Fournette to not do much in this one. I need him to be a knucklehead.
And I mean, it's possible. I fully expect the that Atlanta will keep up its freakishly hot play, and we'll kind of see what happens from there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not gonna put any faith in Jacksonville right now. This is clearly a team that's gonna have to, do some serious soul searching in the off season.
Unless they get fire Tom Coughlin bump. 6-8 Oakland, 5-9 Los Angeles, San Diego Chargers. I don't know. I don't even know. They're like two teams that are just playing out the string right now. You're not going to have Josh Jacobs. He's been I believe he's been shut down officially. If not, they should have, because that guy's just plain hurt. I don't even know what to think about this game. This one doesn't excite me. I have no one in it. My opponent doesn't have anyone in the Alpha League. I don't even know. What do you think of this one, Coach? This just feels like a lot of meh.
I agree. I think the one thing that jumps out for me is Oakland had a big emotional game last week, and they just flushed it down the toilet. So I think if you believe in that sort of, in the feels, I think Oakland's going to come into this one just dead. Mm. And I think the Chargers are going to, Chargers going to charge, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, both of them. At least we know Oakland's trajectory is moving upwards. The Chargers, I think the Chargers are going to have to clean house this offseason. Maybe Phil Rivers walks away. Maybe, I don't know what they do, but at some point, the Chargers have to start over, and probably in a different city, because them moving to Los Angeles was stupid, and they're going to be a Object completely failure. Ignored franchise there.
Yep.
Other than that, things are going great for the San Diego Superchargers.
Woo! 3-10-1 Detroit travels to 5-9 Denver. Going a mile high, Detroit is just giving up. They'll watch out for Detroit. Kerryon Johnson might come back this week. I'm not sure why he would, but he's eligible to come off the IR. I stashed him in one league where he was available. You might as well. That's a pro tip, by the way. If for some reason Kerryon Johnson's out there in any leagues, grab him right now, because there's a chance he can come off the IR. If you're, but of course, dynasty players, for whatever reason, if he's there, you should have grabbed him already, because dynasty, obviously. So hopefully you jumped on that, but. This seems like a game for Cortland Sutton, maybe, to do what he does.
I mean, it's possible.
Detroit secondary is awful.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a good Cortland Sutton game. Drew Locke has looked good. Maybe the Broncos aren't quarterback hunting in the offseason. But, sometimes we talk about MVPs as the guys who put it out on the field, right? Mm-hmm. And the guys who just put up the performance week after week. And sometimes the MVP, you don't realize who he is until he's gone. And man, Matt Stafford must be better than we thought, because these Lions, the Lions under Stafford have never looked great, but wow, do they look terrible without him.
They haven't looked this bad, that's for sure. 4-9-1 Arizona travels to a very quietly 11-3 Seattle. I know they've been doing well, but I didn't really realize they were doing that well from a record standpoint. Seattle's defense is not what it once was. I think this one feels like it's a potential shootout to me. Tyler Lockett seems to be back. Russell Wilson's still doing Russell Wilson things. It really depends if Arizona can hold up their end of the bargain.
And I'm not sure they can. I mean, they had that freak game from Kenyon Drake last week. But, Kyler Murray he's had a good rookie year.
I hope you weren't playing against Kenyon Drake last week, because that might be one of the worst fantasy bad beats of all time, if you got knocked out by that guy. Anyway, sorry, go on.
That's approaching Billy Volek territory.
That is game. Billy Volek, Drew Bennett.
Yeah. But what I was saying is, Kyler Murray had a hot start. He's had some ups and downs. He's cooled off a little bit recently. He's probably not a guy who's leading you to a fantasy title anymore, and I think that whole team has just kind of, hit the skids. I mean, last week, obviously, another, you know, a little dose of Cleveland will help out with that. Mm-hmm. You know, the nothing fixes a 6-game losing streak better than a visit from Cleveland. But I don't see this being a shootout. I don't even know necessarily if this one gets to be too high scoring. I think, you know, I think that Seattle's going to control the ball. They're going to control the clock. This feels like Chris Carson is going to run wild. Start him if you got him, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this is more like a 21-10 kind of outing.
Yeah. 7-7 Dallas, 7-7 Philadelphia. Somebody's going to win this division, coach. Someone's got to win this division. This, I hate to say it because I know my opponent has Zach Ertz in this one. This feels like it's one of those sneaky potential. This game, I see it going one of two ways. Shootout, high-scoring game. Or both teams are just going to come out and suck the life out of the building, and it's going to be an NFC, old-school NFC East defensive struggle. It should be a shootout with the offensive talent that's here. I know Philadelphia's kind of roughing on the rough on the wide receiver side of the ball right now, but this just this one should be a shootout, but I have this weird feeling in the back of my mind that we could be looking at one of those like stupid 13-10 games or something.
Oh, I don't think it's stupid at all. I'll say this. If you put these two rosters together and picked the best 53 players, you'd have a pretty solid team. The problem is these teams are two separate teams, and there are a lot of holes.
Yeah.
You know, Dallas continues to be, you know, all hat, no cattle. They got stars. They got great players, but they don't play up to it. And they're gonna be running tight against the salary cap next season if they, you know, presuming that they bring back Cooper and they bring back Dak. And yeah, I mean, what do you get for it? You maybe get to 9-7. So I think, I mean, with Dallas, a loss is probably best for them because they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. They're, you know, they're racking up the injuries, and it just they need Dallas fans need Jerry Jones to have cover that he can dump Jason Garrett, and then I don't know, go after, I mean, maybe do you throw all the money in Irving, Texas at Nick Saban? I think Nick Saban, like,
oh man,
if you backed up the Brinks truck and said, Nick Saban, you've been phenomenally successful in college, but you know, Dabo might be better than you. You know, there's some other teams, you know, that they're taking a run at you. Why don't you come to Dallas, coach the Cowboys, take us to a Super Bowl, and then ride off into the sunset? God, do you think Nick Saban does that?
They backed up a dump truck full of money to my house. I'm not made of stone. What a circus, Dallas. Like, Dallas is a circus enough as it is already. Bring Nick Saban to town would just, that would be such a Cowboys thing to do. I would love to see it.
Yeah. And I mean, Jerry Jones is going to want a star because he likes stars. I mean, Sean Payton's always a name that's out there when because he has, you know, a history with Dallas. Maybe if, you know, if New Orleans won the Super Bowl this year and Drew Brees retires, maybe Sean Payton wants to move on. Hmm. Maybe Urban Meyer is in the mix there, you know. Maybe he doesn't want the grind of a full-time college schedule where you have to do all the recruiting and that. You know, I'm not saying NFL coaching is any easier, but you're putting your time into more on-the-field activity. You know, Dallas is going to be star hunting after this season, and it's going to be interesting to see where that lands. Mm. On the flip side, Philadelphia has easily the worst wide receiver core that we have seen in many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. You know, and Carson Wentz, you know, he's not looked atrocious with that wide receiver core. He's actually been fairly decent. He's got a couple of good tight ends. Miles Sanders is finishing the season strong, and I think we can look at where he's going to land next year as a, you know, I think he's going to be an RB2 with some upside if he can stay involved in the passing game. Mm-hmm. But this game itself is going to be ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Next one in the I don't know why you decided to flex this game department. The Sunday nighter, Kansas City 10-4 travels to the 7-7 Chicago Bears.
I'm not a believer in what the Bears are, what the Bears have looked like the last couple weeks. I have a funny feeling that Kansas City might expose them a little bit. I know Trubisky's looked better, but this just feels like a perfect primetime meltdown game for Chicago. I have a feeling KC's going to run away with this one, and you're starting all your Kansas City players.
I feel it too. You know, Chicago, they're hanging on. Bless their hearts, they're not giving up in spite of everything. But you know, they're coming up against a huge team. They can really put up the points, and I think we're due to see Kansas City really put up a big number on someone.
Yeah, it could happen this week. So start your Kansas City Chiefs. Finally, the Monday Nighter. Green Bay, Minnesota, the game that was supposed to be the decision maker in the Alpha League Finals until stupid Dalvin Cook got hurt. Now it's going to be inconsequential. But that's going to be consequential for a lot of other finals because, and I hate this game on Monday night too, because a lot of those Minnesota running back owners are not going to know what the heck to do. But this is going to be a fun game. I'm not really sure if it's going to be an offensive shootout. But I think it's going to be a really good NFL game. But from a fantasy standpoint, I can see this being like a middling kind of game where we're flirting with the under.
Yeah, I'm not sure which way this is going to go. Yeah, Minnesota's going to be hurt if Dalvin Cook can't go. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been good when I didn't need him to be this season. clearly, though, you watch that team and he's got Devontae Adams and he's got Aaron Jones in the backfield. They're hurting for wide receiver talent. You know, mm-hmm. we talked at the beginning of the season. They had a bunch of guys, the Martavis Valdez Scandling or whatever, and Equiminius St. Brown and Geronimo Allison and a bunch of guys with really interesting names.
Don't forget the Lazard King.
That's right. None of those guys have actually come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, that's held back Aaron Rodgers' value this year, certainly.
He's had some up games. And he's had some down games. He hasn't been terribly consistent, which is probably part of the problem with him. But
yeah,
this was in Minnesota. Yeah, it'll be a good one. It'll be an interesting one. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going to go. I would steer clear, just to be on the safe side, but. You know, good luck to you if you have to, if you're playing the, you know, roulette with the Minnesota backfield.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to just, I'm rolling with Mostert, I'm afraid. And that's another roulette game I don't want to play, but it is what it is. And that's the slate of games. So if you're in the finals this week, good luck. Dominate. Get out there and dominate. Take home that trophy or the money or whatever you're playing for. It's more important than ever. If you need to hit us up, if you're having trouble with those last minute lineup decisions and you're looking for some help from the coach and Rusty, coach, tell them where they can hit us up so we can help them dominate and take home that fantasy championship.
All right. Drop us a tweet at the FD Pod. That's the easiest and quickest way to get in touch with us. You can also email fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com and we will get back to you. Otherwise, folks, good luck this week if you're in the championships, and we hope you are. If you're not, well, hopefully you had fun. Because as I learned this week, fantasy football is about fun, it's about camaraderie, and if you let it be too much about the winning, then your wife kicks you out of the house for a week and a half and makes you go to some stupid hippie woods experience. So we're going to call that the end of our regular fantasy season. We're going to enjoy a little holiday time. We are going to detox a little from fantasy football because even when you win, you still need some time away. And then folks, friends, fanatics, fiends, we will be back in 2020 post-bowl games to talk about which guys to start looking at for the 2020 NFL draft and your fantasy football draft. Rusty, do you have any words of wisdom you want to leave our wonderful listeners with as we wrap up our first regular season of content?
Other than this is why I'm not married. Listen to you.
The reasons you're not married are many, varied, and mostly not appropriate for a family podcast.
Absolutely. Watch out for girls with lower back tattoos and CD bars in Buffalo. Let's put it that way. With that, that will bring this season, regular season of the Fantasy Domination Podcast, to a close. Thank you so much. This has been a production of Harpoon Media. Now get it there and dominate and bring home the championship.
Oh, thank you.